What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Trending Thoughts. I'm your host, Tori Smith, and I'm back with my official co-host, my wife, Chanel Smith. What's going on, Chanel?
Hey, hey. I always say hey, hey. I need a new intro.
Yeah, that's zero swag.
Zero. Okay, I'll work on it. Keep going.
We can work on it, but before we get going, I want to say thank you. I also want to shout out my family at Herd Pods for the production and taking good care of me because, whew, let me tell y'all, this podcasting stuff is tough, and y'all are some talented engineers and creative minds, so appreciate y'all for your support. But this week, we're getting into another deep subject.
It's not that deep.
I mean, we're talking about
it's
money.
It's serious. It's not deep.
We're talking about money right now. We're talking about finances.
Money, 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 money.
Our experience with it and, you know, the knowledge that we didn't have from the beginning that we have now. Y'all know I like to talk about things that are trending, hence the name of this podcast. But this is real life for me as well. You know, I'm retired now, so the money isn't coming in the same. COVID-19's out here, so it's not like I can find a job just like that tomorrow. And recently, I've been talking with my brothers, Kenny and Trey, about budgeting and just the things that they can do better to really save and try to get ahead. So finances has been a real big topic in our home over the last few months. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, you know, just really how far I've come as an individual, and I know you have. And I want to ask you first before I get into myself and my financial experience. What was your base, or how much did you know about money coming up?
Like as a kid?
Yeah. Just your family experiences, whatever.
I mean, in terms of knowledge, I had no financial base whatsoever. I come from a family where you just figure things out, and if one person doesn't have it, the other person does, and you just look out for each other. We didn't talk really much about budgeting, saving, spending. We didn't talk about any of that growing up. I know going into college, I really had no base. I didn't really start learning about money until I started working in college, and I had to save up my own money because, you know, my family, they were struggling at the time, and they couldn't support, you know, the things that I needed in college. So I didn't really start learning about budgeting, paying bills, and saving and all that stuff until I got to college.
Well, for me, as a youngster, I know we never talked about money at all. That was grown folks' business anyway.
True.
So you better stay in your place, you know, when it comes to that. But just in general, you know, I watched what was going on, and my family was similar to yours. You know, my mother and my grandmother. You know, if my mom didn't have it, my grandma had it.
Exactly.
If my grandma didn't have it,
it's the same.
My mom had it.
Same thing now.
And
thing today.
You would constantly rob Peter to pay Paul. And that was just the way of life. And it was the norm.
The norm, yeah.
It was the norm. And so to me, it was never really about an educational experience in terms of us talking about finances in a healthy way.
Yeah.
It was literally about survival.
Yeah, same.
You know, you were trying to make sure you had food on the table, to make sure the lights were on, the important things. So
even outside of the important things that you just discussed, even when my mom didn't have, she found a way.
Yeah.
Like Christmas, birthdays, like school, back to school time. I don't know how she did it because she was definitely broke. But somehow she always managed to find a way to get us what we needed. And then some things that we wanted as well.
For sure.
And looking back, that's great. You know, she had a great heart. She loved us. You do anything for your kids. But that mindset and that, you know, the way that she handled her finances definitely trickled down to us and how we managed money or didn't know how to manage money. And so looking back, it's interesting to see that was a setup for us now. And now we're in the process of trying to break that cycle and that mindset.
A lot of parents out here are some real life superheroes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're struggling, working multiple jobs to try to make sure that their kids have what they need
and what they want,
you know. And sometimes I know for sure, you know, I feel like I overall did a great job of trying to stay away from putting the pressure on my mom of like, I need. But I can count on my hand so many times how her and my grandmother made something happen when I wanted to play in a sports league.
Oh, see, I wasn't. I was selfish. I definitely made my mom feel bad when I couldn't get what I needed or what I wanted.
It's just a way of life. Like, you just knew, like, yeah, I mean, just in general, like, I knew, like, even looking back, like, how can I complain to my mother or my grandmother when I'm watching them work all these hours? My mom's literally crashed on the couch or wherever she fell asleep in her bed or whatever, and she's been working two jobs, you know, 16-hour days.
You are such an amazing kid.
And you just know, like, I'm complaining, and,
yeah,
you know, she, like, it just doesn't make sense. So
I definitely complain.
I didn't try to do that, even though I know for sure there had been times where I felt that. But, I mean, overall, I just knew, even as a youngin, like, she was doing everything that she could. So this is our reality, and I need to make it work. And I'm definitely grateful for, you know, my mother and my grandmother's hard work, because it taught me a lot of values about hard work, and I wouldn't be where I am today. But back to the money. You know, I was the kid that would try to save my last fruit snack. You know, I was the kid that was going to save my last chip. Like, I was going to try to keep it and make everything stretch as long as I could. So I didn't really have financial literacy, but if I had a dollar, instead of going and buying 10 Tootsie Rolls, I was going to try to make them, like, go back and try to get it over time. And, like,
I was like that too, now that I think about it, because I remember when, what was it? Rock Aware was really popular. And a lot of my friends were, like, getting all these cute velour outfits. And I knew I had a certain amount of money to spend for school shopping. And I'm like, do I get this one sweatsuit and spend up half my money? Or can I go get, you know, five outfits? And I would definitely go the route of, oh, well, I'm going to get these five pair of jeans. Maybe I'll get the sweatsuit for Christmas.
Man, listen, I talk about school shopping. I know for sure I had a mixture of regular clothes and flea market clothes, man.
We used to go to the flea market all the time for Air Force Ones.
I can tell you right now, to them folks in Maryland, in Charles County or wherever, it's a flea market out there. For those in Maryland, somebody knows exactly where it is. I don't know exactly what the area is called, but I think it's in Charles County. There's a flea market, and it was like an adventure for us to get up there, get some shirts. You know, stayed away from flea market shoes.
We definitely got forces from the flea market. I know I did several times.
But
in general, I don't think money was just not a topic. Money wasn't something that we talked about in a productive way. Yeah. It just either wasn't talked about, or it was just, you know, basically like what you said, survival.
My first real dose of really understanding it was when I was going to college, from high school to college.
Yeah.
I was working at Walmart in Central Park in Fredericksburg, and I was saving my money because I wanted to make sure I could buy the things that I needed so my mom didn't have to come out of her pocket and pay for it. So I remember buying my TV and all of the little things I needed to go to school. But, like, you had to save. So I was still living. I was still playing high school ball and football and basketball, for that matter. And I'm still trying to just save, because I know I needed it. But at the same time, you know, you want to eat at places. You want to go hang out. You want to go to the movies. And I'm just like, I learned early on just to sacrifice fun for something that I not that I wanted, but stuff that I actually needed.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to put that to the side. And when you think about when you get to college, now we're on scholarship.
Yeah. And I learned so much about money once I got to school, because the scholarship was great. And then we had our little meal plan. And then we used to get this little cart for the common store.
Mm-hmm.
But when your food ran out, or on weekends when your common core ran out, you had to figure out how you were going to eat for the weekend.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That was tough. And I think Maryland fixed that now for the student athletes. But
that was really rough.
You know, we didn't really have too much cash unless you had a Pell Grant.
Yeah.
You know, which I qualified for. So I for sure was making my Pell Grant stretch. But, you know, when you're in school and you think about, you have, was it $25 or 50?
I think it wasn't 50. Was it 50?
Nah, ain't no way. Ain't no way it was 50. Yeah, it was 25. $25 you could have to use in the little common shops. But when the common shops close, that's it. And then you have your diner points that are available for you when the diner's open. But there's times where the diner wasn't open.
Yeah.
So you have to prepare ahead of time. Okay. The diner's going to close at 7, 8. I need to get, it's on a weekend or whatever, I need to get my money, my meal beforehand.
Yeah.
And throughout the week, you're swiping and it's coming off like real cash. But it's not real money. It's, you know, it's school diner.
But that taught me how to budget.
Yeah, it does.
The dining hall points taught me how to budget. Like, you had to make it stretch. And then I had to be on campus through winter break and through spring break because we were still training. Some people got to go home, but I had to stay on campus. And I remember having to make that money stretch because you would be struggling if you spent all your money in the first semester or whatever the case may be. But my first big introduction into budgeting and planning. Because in my freshman year, my grandpa was sending me $100 a month and I would pay my cell phone bill with that. So I never had to worry about that. But once those little deposits stopped coming in, I had to make it work. And that's when I started working, which was tough being a full-time student, full-time athlete, and then working on campus. I used to work at the little front desk overnight, but that was hard. And then summertime, I only went home my freshman year to work. And then after that, I stayed on campus from there on out. And I had to get jobs every summer to kind of help me through.
Yeah, and you learn, again, how to make it stretch in a different way. Because I know a lot of people are probably listening like, you're on scholarship. You don't know the real struggle.
Stop.
Right?
We were struggling.
It's more so the back end, you know, once you leave school that you don't do that. But you realize that sacrifice then is like, okay, I had the opportunity to leave college debt free.
Yeah.
Which is why, to me, it kills me when people blow that opportunity, because my mother was paying student loans. So I knew early on, like, okay, like, I had the opportunity to avoid that. Like, this is going to give me a leg up down the line. I don't know when, but I know for sure I'm going to have a great start. And so many people mess that opportunity up, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, that I didn't know about how much it costs until I think I got a bill
on accident. Ooh, I've had one.
And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh.
Out of state tuition at Maryland? My goodness.
Listen, if I wasn't on scholarship, I would not have been going out of state, period.
Absolutely not.
It just wouldn't have happened.
I might have done community college for 2 years and then try to go to school, if that.
Yeah. But even in college, one of the good things was that I was close with my coach in college. So I spent a lot of time at his house. I used to babysit for him and stuff like that. And I watched their family dynamic and how they handle finances and stuff. And I'll never forget, one of the things that stuck out to me was for birthdays and Christmas, the kids would get all these gifts, and then he would make them like wait to open them. Like, they couldn't open a million and one gifts on their birthday or Christmas. Each month or whatever, they would open up a new gift, and they didn't do these crazy, they had the money, but they didn't spend all this crazy amount of money on Christmas and birthdays. And the more and more I got around people with money and I saw how they handle holidays and birthdays and stuff like that, I'm like, they have a lot of money and they're not spending their last on their kids. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking back to like when my mom didn't have money, we had a house full of Christmas gifts. And I don't know how she did it, but she did it. And just thinking back to like,
it's a different mindset.
The mindset. And we started to expect that. So when things didn't happen like that, we would be going crazy. Like, we got two toys, like two things for Christmas. That's it. And those are the types of things that early on get instilled in kids' heads. And so to watch how he and his wife handled their dynamics when it came to that, I'm like, I like that. Like, I like that a lot. And we kind of model that now with our kids.
For sure. But the difference is, like, when a family has money, like, good things generally happen all year long.
That's true.
But when you're struggling financially, like, parents is like, man, this is our Super Bowl. Like, this is the biggest and best moment of the year, and we have to make our child smile on this day. And it probably means more to them than to the kids, but it really does breed a monster.
Yeah, listen, my mom used to get, I'm telling you, the whole room would be full of toys. We would go through those toys so quickly. The next day, all the pieces missing. Like, we didn't respect it. We didn't take ownership over it. It was just like, it was expected for her to get us all that stuff. We would mess it up, and then there's nothing to show for it. And so, we follow the motto with our kids. Like, people want to get all our kids all these things. And we're like,
no,
they don't. One, they don't need that many things. And then it's more about the mindset that we're trying to instill them with.
Yeah, we don't want to be very like materialistic.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, we talked about college. Let's talk about like that transition from college to me being drafted in Baltimore.
That was tough for me.
Yeah, that was a big deal. So
I struggled more than you probably even knew I did.
Well, enlighten me then. So we go, and now we're living in Owings Mills. Well, excuse me, Pikesville. And we're renting an apartment. So we're moving in together. So I was basically their fifth wheel roommate when I was training for the combine after the combine, right before, during the lockout. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I go with her and now we're moving together in Baltimore. Chanel's teaching at Dogwood Elementary over in Woodlawn. And I'm obviously playing with Baltimore. And we had to figure out financially, like, how is this going to work? Like, am I going to pay everything? This is like the Instagram meme that you see all the time. Like, is the man expected to pay everything? And what's the woman's like? For us, you know, I was willing to just pay, you know, for the rent and the bills. But Chanel wasn't really having that.
I don't even remember how that went.
Really?
I don't remember where my Dogwood checks went. No, I don't. I don't remember that much.
Wow. Well, I know that, you know, Chanel paid the utilities, you know, the cable, the water, those things. And I paid the rent. I paid the bigger bill. And you already had your own car. But I had a car and I actually had a truck because I had a Camaro, which doesn't do well in the snow. So I had a little SUV, a little Tahoe that Dave from No Limit hooked up. So shout out to Dave. But Chanel ended up driving that more than anything else.
I ended up giving my car to my sister.
Yeah, you ended up giving it to your sister. And we tried to, you know, just spread it out, right? Make sure that everyone was okay because Kate was on deck in high school and getting ready to come to Towson soon. But, you know, for us there, relationship-wise, you know, we shared those responsibilities, but it wasn't like we didn't have the same bank account. We didn't have everything was separate, right? We were girlfriend and boyfriend, fiance soon come, but, you know, that wasn't the case initially, which is always a topic that I see.
It was very much your
online.
Money is your money, my money is my money early on.
For sure. We, like, you made your own decisions financially. I made mine. Like, there was zero collaboration on anything besides maybe like food or something.
Yeah.
But that was about it, you know. And I think now it's like it's crazy how you kind of evolve from that's how it works money wise to like, all right, now we're getting married. Okay. We've been doing this for a couple years, so now how does this work now that we're married? And obviously when you become married, you become one, you become whole, and that transition for us was pretty, I didn't think it was hard at all.
It was pretty smooth.
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. Just understanding our roles and my biggest thing was trying to make you feel more comfortable because I had to move to San Francisco and we had just had TJ. So you stopped teaching. Now I felt like one thing that was there is like Chanel was like trying to protect her independence the entire time. Like, I don't need you busting. Like, I'm working.
I was not that type of person. It was
But like, seriously, like, you know, you go from that to now, and it was on me. Like, Chanel still wanted to teach, but I was like, why would you teach? And we pay somebody to watch our child. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
You were over me teaching before that. When I got pregnant with TJ.
Yeah, you were stressing
out.
And
I was stressed out. You were like, you need to quit. You need to quit.
Yeah, like, you're not about to lose my child and have all unhealthy pregnancy because you got to deal with Common Core and Dallas Dance and all that change
that
came up.
You had to put his name
in
it? Gosh.
I liked, he was cool, but I saw the first year transition for all of those teachers that were going through that. I will never forget. This is not a financial topic, but I will never forget rolling up to the school and seeing these teachers all tearing up over a curriculum change, Common Core. Now that I understand it, I get it because I don't even know how to teach my own child. So thankfully we have you here, Chanel.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the script. You know, that was a big deal for us.
It was a big transition because you wanted to merge everything. And I'm like, no, I still want to keep my bank card. I don't want you to be able to just look in my bank account. Like, what if I'm buying you a gift? And that was, honestly, that was the biggest thing. Like, if I want to buy you something, you're going to see it on the bank statement that I just bought you it. So I wanted to keep my own sense of identity when it came to that.
Yeah.
And you followed through. That wasn't too hard.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, I understood it. You know, when you come from having your own and then, you know, you see kind of things that happen and people try to use finances to kind of like pump their chest out with their partner and take away their freedom in a way. Like that for me wasn't a thing. I wanted you to feel as important as you were, you know, because your role in our family may have changed, but you know, you were still working nonetheless the same.
But I think it started to become difficult to you when I got really comfortable with it, because then I'm like, okay, because for a while I did feel like I'm not working. I'm not like it wasn't my money. It was still really weird for me in that sense. It was still weird for me. And then even when it came to like helping my family with financial things, like I was always weird about like, how does this work? And you were great about it. You made me feel really comfortable that it was our money. It wasn't just your money, and that we treated my family like we treated your family. And I really appreciate you for that. We started to bicker about money really more recently, because you're more of a spender than I am. And so,
which isn't saying much, by the way,
when you don't stick to quote unquote budget and I call you out on it, you do get kind of defensive, like, don't say nothing. And I'll be like, why? Because it's your money. And like, I'll throw that in your face. But I think that's the only time we really have issues, is because when you're just spending, just buying stuff, packages and packages coming to the house. You know how like you always see like the women with the Amazon packages? That's Tori. Like, I'm an Amazon shopper, but Tori will shop and just buy stuff.
It's spotty online. Though. I'm not consistent.
It's spotty, but it happens. And I'm like, bro, did you need that? And so when I start questioning you about little stuff like that, you're like, I don't buy cars. I don't buy clothes. I don't buy watches. Like, how dare you bring up to me about buying hunting stuff every single week? And so that's the only time we really argue, is when I'm like, I understand we have a lot of money, but I want to live simple. Like, I've always wanted to live a really simple life. We both are not big spenders. We're both not flashy. We're not into materialistic things. But I'm just like, I don't like the feeling of we have money, so let's spend it. And I don't want to necessarily save it either. Like, I want to help people and I want to do other things with it. But I also just, more money is not less problems. How about that? Yeah, like, it's not easier.
I think we'll get to that one in a while for sure. And even on that note, I think a major challenge for me was dealing with my family and money. Yeah. Because part of the reason why I left school, because my mother's house was literally about to be foreclosed on. And I knew that obviously if I left school, I had the opportunity to earn money. Therefore, I could save that situation, which I did. But people think you're rich when you get drafted. And people see your contracts. They see what, you know, what they put on paper. But when you don't know who Uncle Sam is and what he takes from you, or you don't understand that this money doesn't come in the same way forever,
right?
That's a big adjustment for a lot of people. And I understood that. And I sought to educate myself through my financial advisors, through reading, through everything, just to learn what was going on. And I was like, my thought process was like, if I can make it through and I need to be in a better place leaving the NFL than I was when I came in. And what I mean by that is I need to have prepared for my next life versus living like a king for a day. Like Steve Bisciotti says, that. I said that and I talked about that story a few episodes ago. But that was always my mindset, because I knew the game was going to end. And I wanted to make sure that I was in a good place. And I also never wanted to start something that I couldn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we moved over 20 times before I was 16 years old. And I always knew that I wanted to buy my mom a house. But I needed to be able to get her a house when it made sense. Not just because I could technically get it, but I couldn't afford that same thing when I was done. And all of my decisions went into that. But you get a lot of pushback from your family when they don't understand financially how money works.
Yeah.
And that's a major issue for a lot of players, which is why you see a lot of guys go broke.
We literally watch guys go broke.
Yeah.
Like,
it's scary.
But, and for the simple fact that they don't understand that this money isn't going to last them forever. And like, families expecting, I think everyone's expectation, like even me when I was younger, I think TV. I don't know, the picture of it is like the guy goes to the NFL, he buys his mom, his brothers, his sisters, everybody's like doing great and everyone's rich. That's like the picture you get. And it's just really not realistic for it to happen that way.
Not for everyone, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Some and people. Everyone, yeah. Some people have enough money.
I will
to
say that some people can do that.
Yeah.
There's levels to this pro league levels. And money thing. But, you know, for me, that just wasn't my situation. And I tried to do everything at the right time. You know, I wanted to make sure that my mother had her home, which she does, and she did. But everything was on my time. Like, I knew that I had to make the decisions at the right time, not just because it was the decision that I wanted to do. And that goes back to understanding wants versus needs and long-term wants versus needs. And when you have your own kids, it really wakes you up.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm like, man, I have to protect them. I have to, everything I do is about them. Like, if I don't have any money, who's going to take care of me? And that always like stayed in the back of my mind. And literally, not just that, but also Herm Edwards. Like, that might sound crazy to say, why is Herm Edwards' little voice stuck in your head? Like, I remember when we were at the rookie symposium and he was talking to us about having one girlfriend, one car, one house, one everything, one watch, one, you know what I mean? And it made so much sense because if you get one of something, you know, you got what you need. You get more, I mean, that's just you being greedy. And I took that to heart and I tried to apply that to the majority of the things in my life that, like, man, I don't have to overdo it. You know, as much as it was just about simply saying one, what I got from him was that you don't have to overdo anything. Like, stay within your means, live within your means, enjoy it, but stay within your means. And I've seen so many people out here that really it hit me to just learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough when you watch someone that you know and love making bad decisions. And the NFL stands for not for long. And this isn't just an NFL issue. It's right. Not just an NBA issue. It's an issue of people who may not have had money and they lack financial literacy. Like, they aren't bad people, right? People just don't understand.
Bad habits.
Yeah, it's bad habits. You fall into this trap and you don't understand what's going on. That's why it hurts, because people are quick to give you that money, but no one ever taught you how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know that coming up. So as much as you see a headline and you're like, how did this fool lose that money? Like, I'm looking at it like he didn't know. No one taught him that. Like, he grew up this way and he did not know. And he didn't even stand a chance.
Yeah, from the beginning.
For sure. And that's why, you know, I try to go and I try to tell people. And beyond just telling people, I try to live a certain way.
Right.
That people can see, like, man, you can make simple decisions. You can enjoy your life. You can get nice things. But you can also have that peace of mind. You know, I always say all the time, my definition of success is stability. You know, I want to know where I'm going to live. I want to know that I have a car to drive. I want to know that I'm going to have food to eat. I'm like, that's success. And the janitor is just as capable of that as Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people have to identify, you know, the life they want to live and how to make it happen. You know, not just hoping and wishing. Like, you need a true financial plan to see it through.
So I think a lot of people, I've heard this many times, like, it's easy for you to say you have a lot of money. So what's the very basic thing that, like, the most basic thing you learned about money that can apply to someone, whether they have a lot of money, a little bit of money? Like, what is the biggest lesson you have learned about money throughout this process?
For me, I just learned that, one, money doesn't just simply solve all of your problems. I would say that actually brings more problems, like Biggie and Diddy told everybody. Like, I think that's the truth. But also that it doesn't buy happiness either. Like, I remember thinking, like, man, if I had $1 million, all the things that I would do with it. And then I actually made $1 million. And I'm like, I ain't doing none of that, because if I did what I want to do, I'm not going to have anything. Like, it's crazy to think about it that way. And I know it sounds ridiculous saying, like, dude, you have $1 million you're talking about? Like, I don't even have $5 in my account. But when you actually see how money works and you see how people that really get rich, like, how they do it and their discipline, like, you realize that certain numbers aren't as big as you think they are. Now, trust me, it's a lot of money. But what I'm saying is, all the things that you envision as a kid watching, you know, whether it's the fancy cars, the fancy houses, and all these things. Like, if you aren't making great financial decisions, like, it's all going to be gone. You're
going to be taken away.
Like, you're going to lose it. It's not a matter of if, but when. Like, you're literally going
to
lose it.
And I think to add on to what you're saying, if you can't manage a smaller amount of money, you're not just going to magically be able to manage a lot of money. And so I think people get that confused too. Like, if I just had this much more, I've seen so many situations where that person got that much more and still had issues and still was broke and still couldn't figure out a way to make it work. Don't they say that about people who win the lottery?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them go broke. You think, oh, I'm going to get all this money. I'll be fine. Like, life will be easy. And then it's gone. How? If you can't manage $5, you can't manage $5 million. So I think that's a big takeaway too. And just, again, just to hit on your idea about needs and wants, I think about this a lot with our kids, and people kind of give us pushback because, like I said, for birthdays and stuff like that, we're like, they don't need anything. Don't get them anything else. Don't do this. Don't do that. A lot of times we're doing that. It's more for our own, like, satisfaction than the kids. And what we're really trying to do with TJ, Cam, and Corey is to have them realize, like, materialistic things aren't what matters. And so I just keep thinking about how we're going to instill these ideas of financial literacy with them, because we really haven't started, like, technically started.
I think we show them, but we haven't talked about actual dollars. Need
to talk about, yeah, like TJ, when recently he broke his iPad. And I told him he had to spend his birthday money on fixing an iPad. And he was like, what? How much of it? And I think it was like $75. He has like $25 left. And he's saving that money. Like, he doesn't want to spend that money. TJ's definitely, he's like you. Just naturally wants to save it versus spending it. And he wants to figure out how he can make that $25 stretch now. But I think teaching him the responsibility of things, like his iPad, is expensive. We have 3 iPads in the house. He would think, like, this is no big deal. We have another one. Like, no, this is an expensive item. When you break it, this is how much you have to pay for it. And I think now he's starting to think, like, okay, I have to take care of these things. Otherwise, you know, it'd be just another item, kind of how I lived when I was younger. Oh, it's just another Christmas with a million toys. Like, take it out, rip it apart, throw it around, lose it. And then we didn't have that sense of responsibility. And so I think we have to do that now, because now, thinking about our sisters and brothers, trying to teach them those ideas now is a lot harder than if we would have started, you know, when they were younger.
And I think that them being and kind of growing up completely different than we are is going to be an added advantage for them, because there's going to be times where they're going to feel like they have absolutely nothing. And what I mean by that is, I want them to work for everything. Like, I want us to be able to provide for them and put them in position, but I want them to be able to work for everything, because you can't be out here and just be this little privileged kid and expect to be successful and expect everything to be handed to you. And when it comes to, and I feel like that's not being judgmental towards a lot of people. I just only know really one way coming up, but I've seen some of the most humble people I've met are like billionaire kids as well.
Yeah.
Right. But their folks made them work. They made them earn things. And basically what I take from that is they made them appreciate the value of money and hard work. And so I want to make sure that we're doing the same things with them, just as easy as we were literally down there. They understand that in real life, like, everyone doesn't have the things you have.
Yeah. That's, you know, a big thing for kids.
And just like, I mean, we were literally, before we started to record this podcast, we were downstairs in our garage putting together packets for some kids in Baltimore City to have some little activity fun package. Chanel does a lot of cool things with the kids on the regular, and just put together some kits to kind of break up the schoolwork a little bit that they can enjoy. But when you think about that, you know, he's working and he's trying to give something to someone. He understands that another kid may not have what he does. And I say that not to be like looking down at people or like everyone's a charity case, but I want him to understand, like, you're no better than them kids, and they're just like you.
Yeah.
And that's a value along with finances that can take him and anyone that comes in contact with him like a long way.
We have a long way to go. Just conversations we still have with a lot of our family. it's still a very long way to go to break. If you have a mindset for so long and you've been doing things a certain way for so long, breaking that in any way, shape, or form is going to feel like torture. And I think that's the, we get a lot of pushback because, I mean, one, it's hard to break a habit and it's definitely hard to break a mindset. And so we have to do our part so that the next generation can be in a better position than we were in. There's really no excuse. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. This is a great topic, Chanel. Held it down talking about the money.
Money, 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 money.
All right, now I'm going to go to Amazon as soon as we get off.
I was going to say, can you not, like, you really, we really have to crack down. I've been so paranoid, and this is just me thinking too much, but like, Tori doesn't have a job right now. You know, we're spending a lot of money. His sister's going to college. We're going to be helping with that. We have this person we have to help. And I'm just like, we need to, there's nothing we need. Like, we need to stop buying stuff. So Tori, we're going to leave here and you're not going to get on Amazon.
I really don't buy that many things. I buy more things for the house.
For your enjoyment.
Like what?
Like a card shuffler. Who needed a card shuffler?
You kept complaining about my card.
Who needed a card shuffler?
You kept complaining about the way I was this shuffling podcast, the cards.
He didn't just go out and get the two mics. He had to get every single gadget that goes along with it. But somehow I have these busted headphones. The co-host has a pair of busted headphones.
We'll get you right.
Can I get a pair of headphones?
I'm trying to take care of our finances, so we got to understand wants versus needs. Your headphones work, so you have everything that you need.
Touche.
Now it's time for Tori's Take, the part of the show where I give you my unfiltered opinion on what's going on and trending in my world. Man, I really enjoyed this episode talking with Chanel about our finances because, again, that's a conversation that we have in our personal life, and to share it with y'all, a little glimpse into it, you know, it's pretty cool. I hope y'all learned something from it, and let's hope some of y'all other married folks can relate. Or even if you aren't married, know what you're getting into when it comes to finances. And I'm saying all that to say this. You have to have a plan. You have to be aware, and you have to have a plan. I want to encourage y'all, if you haven't already, to go down and simply write down your wants versus your needs. I'm not a financial genius or teacher by any means, but simply doing that activity with my brothers the other day, it let me know how much money we all waste by not even, like, we don't even realize it because it's everyday things, right? Something as simple as saving on food. Instead of going to the fast food restaurant, which is fine from time to time, right? If you hit that up a few times a week, next thing you know, at the end of the month, you spent $200 on fast food. You rewind that back, how can you fix that? Going to the grocery store. Cooking a little early. Next thing you know, you save some money. These are all things that you don't know. And it's hard to fix a problem if you aren't aware of it and you don't see what it looks like. So I want to encourage y'all to go and do that. And then I also want to encourage you to go and plan. Like, what does success look like to you? I told y'all my definition of success. And if you listen to this podcast, you're probably going to hear that a million and one times, because it applies to really everything that I do. But I want to encourage you to make sure you identify what is your version of success. What does financial freedom, what does financial success look like to you? What is it going to take for you to sleep easy at night knowing that your bills are going to be paid? What do you have to do? Do you have to get another job? Do you have to go to school? Like, what is it? You don't know unless you plan. So go write down your wants versus your needs, and then identify and figure out your plan to go out there and get it done. I'm praying for y'all. Love y'all. Catch you next week.